Good morning, everybody. It's Good Day Health with Doug Steffen and myself, Dr. Jack Stockwell.
In your homeopathic world, what causes something like colon cancer?
Well, you look at the diet of our ancestors compared to the diets of today. Back when they had very little, hardly noticeable cancer. 100 years ago, cancer was only number 10 on the top killer, according to our medical anthologies.
Yes.
Because what they ate came from the earth, either plants and fruits and vegetables or animals. Today, the things that we buy in the supermarket are so loaded with preservatives and color enhancers and mold inhibitors and the things that are necessary to try to make this stuff last a long time. And it's hardly, you know, we recognize it as food, but I think some of our ancestors may not choose to eat that at all because of all the stuff we stuff in it that is completely foreign to our digestive system, and it accumulates inside the body, some of which is known to be carcinogenic.
You know, every week there are more and more stories about the various problems people have with certain types of cancers. I noticed this week there's an overview that showed up in one of the journals about women risking ovarian cancer if they have chlamydia. This is the most common sexually transmitted disease, and it doubles a woman's risk of getting ovarian cancer. Women who have this chronic problem, twice the risk of ovarian cancer compared to women with no evidence of having been infected.
Yes.
And apparently, ovarian cancer is not that common. 21,000 American women last year had it, and of that, two-thirds of them died.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Ovarian cancer is deadly. And as far as chlamydia is concerned, as you're mentioning it, another terrible effect of that, excuse me, if it doesn't take your life, is a serious infection of chlamydia within 24 hours can render a woman sterile
Yes.
the rest of her life.
Causes infertility. So what's the prevention for chlamydia? Is it something obvious, just having protection?
Well,
or is
yes.
it something
yeah.
other than that? Knowing your partner.
You want to check out your sexual partner clearly mm-hmm. before you mm-hmm. Indulge in such kind of intimacies. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm going to relate this back to the gut, because certain aspects of our bodies need to be acidic, and one of which is the
right.
colon. The vagina needs to be slightly acidic because it's a barrier to the outside of the body. And when it's acidic, it helps to keep down the possibility
of
infections.
So how do we keep
but the colon as well?
The body acidic. There's the acidic side. There's a test you can give yourself to find out whether
that's right. But parts of the body need to be alkaline. Parts
Yes.
of the body need to be acidic. It's not, you know, one blanket thing for everything. Your saliva is slightly alkaline. The Yeah. stomach is acidic as battery acid, or should be.
Yeah.
The early parts of the small intestine are very alkaline to balance the acid coming out of the stomach into the small intestine. And then the colon, like the vagina, needs to be slightly acidic for the growth of certain bacteria in there. Mm. That is the barrier to the outside world and fosters the right kind of pH coating of the colon itself. There are studies in South Africa involving the diamond and the gold miners of South Africa, a large study a number of years ago, and they found the proliferation of colon cancer among the workers who had slightly alkaline colons as opposed to acidic colons.
All right.
And again, it's the proliferation of the bacteria that thrives in an acid environment. Maybe we can talk about that after the interview.
Just to sort of wrap up the conversation about colon cancer with that fellow who is the expert. He's in charge of a division, University of Wisconsin, a teaching professor, but there's a lot of work done. A lot of these state schools have good medical departments.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's involved with the American Cancer Society. 140,000 new cases of colorectal cancer diagnosed this year. 50,000 people will die, Jack. And a lot of people don't. That's why you have the test, because you don't see signs of it until it's too late. That's why you get a test every five or 10
that's
years.
That's true. How did our ancestors get through the winter? They didn't have refrigeration. They would ferment their vegetables. They would put them in clay pots, have their vegetables ferment, mm-hmm. and the explosive growth of the bacteria that would take place in this fermentation is exactly the bacteria you want present in the colon. So they would have sauerkraut, and they would have kimchi, and they would or American versions of kimchi, and they would make all these different things that would make their foods last through the wintertime. It wasn't just a root cellar. They were able to do this, and they would do this with meat as well. They would season their meat. They would season it with a real good rock salt, or they would season it with spices so that the meat could hang all winter long without spoilage, because that seasoning would prevent the growth of the bad bacteria, foster the growth of the good bacteria. We had a patient here whose whole family was loaded with polyps, and wow. she did too. And she'd have to have them taken out every 6 months until she started taking something called lactic acid yeast wafers. We recommend this for everybody over the age
product.
Of 50 or younger.
Yep.
That's right.
I take them.
To chew these things up and swallow
them.
They're
awful, though.
She
they
went back
terrible.
For a... Well, I think they taste like stale bread.
I know.
But she
they
went
taste
back...
Awful.
Had a colonoscopy after doing this for 6 months, no polyps. The rest of her family had them. She had no polyps. This mm-hmm. is the forbidden information that, as good a doctor as Dr. Deming must be, he's oriented towards after the fact rather yep. than before the fact.
Preventative.
Yes,
smart
and lactic
up.
Acid
right.
yeast wafers is what we recommend.
Yeah. All right, so you can find that information when you get your, if you go to forbiddendoctor.com, you can take advantage of the opportunity you have there to go through the symptom survey, which Jack offers to his patients without cost. It's a good way for you to find out things like this, all kinds of things. You could have things going on in your body. You have no idea. You know, even though we're not really our bodies, we use our bodies to house our mind and our soul. I believe in the spirit, mind, body connection. But, most people don't know how to eat, and most people don't exercise enough. Most people don't pay attention to what their body is telling them and how it responds to various things that are a problem.
There are things that can be done of an alternative nature, but yep. people just get so scared they just follow after the white coat and the stethoscope.
Yep. The information that comes from people I find very interesting, especially as much as we talk about food. Somebody sent me an article, actually, about how food affects your sex life. And the article is called Top 10 Aphrodisiac Foods That Can Supercharge Your Sex Life. And I wonder, as I look through this, oysters, I mean, there's some of them, but what I found in here, food taken away from it, there's a certain focus on zinc. And I wonder about other things that can be available. You know, there's always, you see the ads everywhere for this, not only enhancement, but things that you can do to make it more pleasurable. And what people don't understand is often it's what you eat. I mean, I think that in terms of oysters, they're a legend, but how many people knew asparagus was good for your sex life?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yes. You know, your sex, the sexual
chocolate
aspect.
Chocolate is good for your sex life, too.
Yes, it depends on its source. It's true. Yeah. Chocolate's good for everything.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
But it depends on awful. Your sexual expression has two major controls, your hormonal system and direct nerve stimulation. And the hormonal system is absolutely dependent on good, healthy fats and good, healthy oils and a good source of proteins. The nervous system, provided your spinal column is healthy and your spine, and because I've had a lot of fellows who've had problems with ED or things related to that once yep. the spinal element was cleared out, so there was better nerve innervation to the pelvis. There was much better performance after that as well. But you mentioned zinc there, and it's very interesting about zinc. It's one of the minor minerals in the body, but it is absolutely essential to good sugar handling in the system for pancreatic function. Obviously, the immune system has an awful strong dependency upon zinc, but yep. also sex life. Zinc is at the very heart and core of good testicular function in a man, where a lot of his hormones, his sexual hormones, arise. So it's, and we've often used sexual expression and sex life in our practice in the sense of an indication of overall health, because it's amazing how many young men I see, late 20s, early 30s, they don't give a rip about it anymore. They, you know, doc, I don't know if there's something wrong with me. I just don't have any sex drive left in me. He's only 30. Yeah, there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing about, you know, controlling and managing your sex life and sexual expression in the sense of emotional aspects and connection with other human beings. It's another thing as an indicator of overall health. So this is a very, very good topic you're bringing up here. And right at the heart and core of this are good, healthy fats, most of which are animal-derived, because it's this vegetable fat phenomenon that's been around since the 50s that is absolutely killing us, destroying us, the canola, the soybean, the cottonseed. And I could go on and on after this, these overly processed oils that cause constant irritation in our bloodstreams, constant lesions building up inside the arterial structures and the heart as well. Whereas 100 years ago, when our fats were primarily derived from animal fats, lard, tallow, this kind of stuff, we hardly had any, well, heart disease wasn't even mentioned in the top 10 killers 100 years ago.
No. All right. So also, when it comes to your sex life, apparently dietary nitrates are good when it comes to sex. I'm talking about beets, arugula, celery. These are building blocks for nitric oxide, which we know from a lot of conversation here promotes circulation. You were talking about ED. There are a lot of drugs that, like, I guess there are various. There's three different popular drugs that basically all do the same thing, but there are a lot of natural products that you don't have to take Viagra or Levitra or Cialis
With no side effects.
Right. Yeah, so that's something else. That's all diet stuff. And then there must be something in the standard process package that will promote the same sort of nitric oxide resilience, isn't there?
It's called beta food. Beta food is absolutely jam-packed with nitrates. Right. And you can't get dilation of small capillary beds without nitrates. That's the whole idea behind it. The engorgement that occurs as well from sexual stimulation, female every bit as much as male, is nitrate dependent.
Those some women arteries, take Viagra and Levitra. Some women do it as you just pointed out.
Yes.
It does the same thing. It just it's all about blood flow.
Well, it is. And there's a female version of ED. It doesn't have the popularity that, you know, the guy side does.
Yeah.
But even clitoral stimulation is dependent upon a healthy blood supply. And that is dependent upon the presence of nitrates.
All right. Now, I'm looking at a study here. It's an amazing thing how you can just Google one thing and a whole bunch of stuff shows up. Here's a study that measures testosterone and estrogen in vegans versus people who eat animal protein. The revelation here is vegans have lower levels of sex hormones. This may confer protection against prostate, breast, and uterine cancers, but it also is something that kills your desire.
Well, yeah.
It makes it.
And it's not just the sexual desire. There's an entire emotional component that's involved with this that suffers over a period of time if the right kinds of oils and fats aren't present in the diet. And again, it comes back to an animal source of this. Now, I'm not saying anything against vegetarianism.
No.
And the vegans, of course, are in a different class all by themselves. And a short period of this, someone whose body is very toxic and sick, a short period of being vegan, a short period of being vegetarian can be very beneficial to the system because it helps the system to unload from its toxic load. But you stay in that dietary process long enough, and I deal with these in my clinic. After 20-some years, I've seen over 17,000 people, and you start to see a trend from time to time, and one of these trends is when there's not the right kind of dietary fat showing up, there is an emotional imbalance that begins to show up, not just sexual desire, but a kind of a downgrading of the entire emotional experience where it's, you know, it's the, I don't want to offend anybody, but there's a shutting down of the emotional life if this goes on months and months, if not years. the emotions will play a role in some deficit.
Jack Stockwell, Doug Steffen, I'm looking at a quote that somebody sent to you, an endorsement of Long Life Energy Enzymes.
Yeah, this is from Amazon.
Really?
Yeah, this is on Amazon. You can go see this for yourself on Amazon, because our product is not only available at ForbiddenDoctor.com, it's available at Amazon. And it's a 5-star. She says, this is the best product I've ever taken. It's referring to the enzymes. I am swearing by the product, this product, for anyone having pancreas problems. Follow the directions of 4 capsules 30 minutes before breakfast. Made my peristalsis come back.
What is that?
That's the movement through the intestines of, you know, it's like you're squeezing like a tube of toothpaste. You have small muscle tissue that moves the product.
What a great reference.
Squeezing a tube of toothpaste. Maybe I could have come up with better. Okay. She said, I get a BM every day now. Thanks, Dr. Jack.
Just one?
At least one. I started on November 19. Today is December 4th. That's just like, 3 weeks later, and I'm already a believer. Clova, thank you, Clova, for your testimonial there at Amazon. So you go to Amazon and look for Long Life Energy Enzymes, or if you just go to ForbiddenDoctor.com, you can get it there. But it's great to see all these ratings. I mean, we have a mess of good 5-star ratings for this product at Amazon.
So a better way of putting it than a mess. You have a lot of them.
I know, a lot of them.
A lot of them. And also, by the way, the same thing is true for the thyroid product. That you can get both of these at ForbiddenDoctor.com, Long Life Energy Enzymes, and the thyroid product. Both of them very essential, and put together the formulas exclusive for the people that go to ForbiddenDoctor.com. I'm one of them. I take them every day.
Yeah.
And look at how healthy I am. I don't look a day over 35. And it's all because, it helps a lot. These products do help. There's a new study that finds antidepressants to be largely ineffective and potentially dangerous. This is news to you, Jack?
It just came out at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And I think, as we've said on the show a couple of times in the past, every one of these school shootings have involved somebody heavily on antidepressants.
Yep.
And so the study just came out of the Zurich University of Applied Sciences in Switzerland. And it just said, essentially, I'm quoting from the study very briefly, due to several flaws, such as publication and reporting bias, the unblinding of outcome assessors, concealment, and recoding of serious adverse events, the efficacy of antidepressants is systematically overestimated, and harm is systematically underestimated. That's significant.
Right, so is that because of the drug companies and all their PR and their influence peddling?
Yes. Heavens yes.
Yeah.
Heavens yes. So they conceal bad outcome, or they recode bad outcomes. In other words,
what does it mean, recode? Explain that, please.
Well, somebody, almost every antidepressant insert will say, suicide is a possible side effect of using the drug.
But wouldn't you say that all of the things, when you see an ad in a newspaper or a magazine, or when you watch one on television or even hear one on the radio, they spend 15, 20 seconds telling you why to use the drug and 40 seconds telling you why you better not use it because you'll kill yourself. And yet people don't seem to listen to that stuff.
Yes. And then they recode kill yourself to physical harm.
Right.
This person harmed themselves. Things like that.
Yeah.
And other kinds of recoding so that it doesn't actually show extremely dangerous nature of this stuff. The first real two popular antidepressants came out in the 50s. Remember when someone was stressed or hysterical or full of anxiety? Oh, she needs a bromide. Remember when they used to say that?
No, I remember something else, but I don't remember a bromide. Another one of the common names back then? What's another antidepressant that came out early on? Do you remember? I have one on the tip of my tongue, but I can't.
Yeah, me too. I can't.
Right. Anyway, the point is the harm here is systematically underestimated, and there are other sources. So now that we're on the negative side, or we've made people aware of the antidepressant problem, what do we give them? That is, you're from the all-natural world, as am I. So What do people take if they're feeling that they need a little, you know, you go to therapy, something you can modify your chemical. This is all about chemical balance.
Well, it is, and it's getting back into whole foods for your source of nutrition as opposed to processed foods. Remember, the reason that there's so much processing of foods is to obtain shelf life in the supermarkets.
Right.
So there's not a lot of throwaway and then back charge to the supplying company. Now they have shelf life of anywhere from 2 to 3 up as much as 6 months for some of this stuff. And the only way they can do that is they have to get rid of that, which is the nutritious aspect of the food, because that's the part that spoils first.
Yeah.
So they've got to get rid of that stuff. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons why we came up with ageless thyroid. It's why fish oil is so important, because the kind of fat that's in fish oil is the kind of fat that is heavily concentrated inside the human brain, or any mammal for that matter, but we're talking about humans here. And when we are deficient of certain kinds of nutrients, especially that which comes from whole foods, then some part of us is going to suffer. And then when the brain suffers, my goodness, everything suffers.